morning.
Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to Christ.
What a joy it is to celebrate Emiliane's baptism this morning and to praise God for his illumination and his new birth in Christ. Christ is in our midst. Today is, for us as Orthodox, the Sunday of the Last Judgment of Christ. And we mark this celebration taking note that many religious groups outside of Orthodoxy refrain today from discussing sin and judgment. And the thought is that God, being a God of love, would never condemn any of his creatures to eternal judgment and punishment. He would never give them what they actually demand. Indeed, many today consider the very idea of judgment a great stumbling block to Christianity. And so the last judgment of Christ and sin itself have been greatly subjectified according to modern cultural standards. But here's the truth that we affirm as Orthodox. Without a correct understanding of sin and judgment, there's no Christianity. There's no healing. There's no salvation. There's no life with God. We affirm in the Creed, Christ will come again to judge the living and the dead. So where's God's love in all this judgment, we may ask? The truth is that God's love and his judgment are not incongruous paradoxes of God's nature, but rather they go hand in hand. God created us with a choice, with the opportunity, and that's really the key word, with the opportunity for love and glory through life, through koinonia with him, or rejection of that life. In his love, God created us for adoption as his children, co-heirs with Christ, by putting on Christ, by doing what little Emiliane received this day, and we pray will continue to do throughout his life as he grows further up and further in the life that Christ alone is. In his love, God created us to be glorified even as we glorify him. He enables us to participate in his divine life, in the relationship of unity and love that God, the Holy Trinity, is in his very essence. God, in his great love and mercy towards us, desires our salvation, our healing in him more than anything else. His divine will is clearly revealed in the Holy Scriptures. God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And this occurs through the life of Christ, who as the Logos of God, the Word of God, who created all things to begin with, has been revealed as that truth. Yes, the truth is a person, the God-man Jesus Christ. So no surprise then that the next verse in 1 Timothy says, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ." God invites us into a communion, a koinonia with him through his Son, Jesus Christ, that we too may put on Christ in the language that we just heard today in the ancient service of holy baptism. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, in the words of St. Paul. In Christ we become fellow victors with him and all of the saints that surround us here, and many, many more, over sin and death. God has made a way for us to grow in holiness and thereby to participate in that life that he alone is, to live and not to die, by becoming inheritors of new life in him, part of the spiritual race of the new Adam that he's created. So in Christ, we can say there are no haves and have-nots. God calls all of us to glory through our healing of our sin sickness that comes through repentance, that comes from turning back to God, the author and source and sustainer of our life. In other words, We could say that through correct judgment of sin, of what sin is, and its consequences in regard to our life and our relationship with God, we either make a decision for life or against it. And we see in the saints around us that growth in love and relationship with God is possible. But so too we see in our world, we see around us, in our yes to sin and no to God, the possibility of rejecting that life that God so graciously and lovingly has entrusted to us. And so this is where the judgment comes in. Love can, by definition, never be forced upon anyone. Think about it for a moment. What is love? What is its nature? It can never be forced. Servitude is not love. A master-slave relationship with God is not love, and it's not what God created us for. Likewise, relationship, communion, is a participation. And so when we talk of the final or last judgment, we're acknowledging that God's judgment is happening on us even now. Judgment began when God, in his love for man, rejected our first parents' decision to separate themselves from life, from love, from relationship with him, in their disobedience. He acknowledged their choice of death and its sad consequences. But he didn't leave us there. Through Christ, he made a way that we would not remain in perpetual alienation from him, from life. God, in his love for us, doesn't leave us alone in sin and death. He repeatedly calls us back from sin and death to life with him. He entered into human nature so he could renew that nature, fill us with new life, seal us with the Holy Spirit, as little Emiliani has done this day, and enable a repentance and growth in his divine love and life, further up and further in the kingdom of God that he has prepared for us. At the present, before his glorious and fearful judgment day, before his second coming, it's we who must, in a sense, judge ourselves through our choices for or against God. Now, this doesn't mean that we make it up as we go along. All such relativism and subjectivism of our sins leads to fantasy or delusion or prideful self-condemnation, willful separation from life with God and his holiness. No, when we speak of judging ourselves, we mean that our pilgrimage of life with God is dynamic and active, that we are repenting. We are bringing our sins before God in regular confession. We are praying for God's mercy on us sinners. We are seeking his healing from our sin sickness. We are confessing our negligence of our glorious divine calling as adopted sons and daughters. We are repenting of our inaction towards our church, our neighbors, those in need of God's truth, all of us. And so this judgment of ourselves, we do so that, come the fearful last judgment of Christ, we may be then spared from separation from him, from life. The ecos of, in the Canticle 6 from Matins for this Sunday, puts it this way. O Lord, supreme in love, as I think upon thy fearful judgment seat and the day of judgment, I tremble and am full of fear, for I am accused by my own conscience. As we practice active repentance, we're saved from condemnation at Christ's dread judgment seat. At the same time, Christ, in his mercy, heals us on an ongoing basis, step by step, of our sin sickness. He grows us into the men and women of God that he's called us to be. And by this mercy, this love, we come to enjoy the blessed life with God, the filling of that void within us that only God is meant to fill and that only God can fill. So back to the question about love. What we really need to ask is not how God can judge us. Of course God can judge us. He's holy. He created us. He is the author of life and love. Of course he can judge us. If he can't judge us, who can? How else would we ever understand these vital concepts? How else would we understand goodness, love, all of these things, holiness, that God desires to give us so that we can be in his near presence? What we need to ask is this: how is it love if we refrain from responding to God's mercy? How is it love if we reject his gracious offer of relationship and communion with him? How is it love if we look sin in the eye and don't address it in our own lives when we know it's incompatible with life with God? Or how is it love if we refrain from speaking the truth with others in need of that truth when given the opportunity? We can do so without judging them. That's God's place. But if we don't understand sin's consequences, or if we subjectively decide that we can define sin ourselves, or our culture can, then we're keeping ourselves and others from the very freedom from sin that leads to our and their healing, salvation, and eternal life with God. In short, denial of the reality of the last judgment, of the terrible consequences of sin, that if we've really taken an honest look at ourselves, we've seen in the mirror, or maybe we've experienced from others as well, or seen around us in the evils that go on. A rejection of this reality is a rejection of life itself and the possibility of glory. And that, brothers and sisters, is no love. Now the season is upon us, though, when we can take Christ's words to heart, when we can apply this teaching to our daily lives, now is the time for us to purge the passions and sins from our lives as we continue to struggle and grow to love and serve him, his church, and our fellow man. If we're to make the most of this holy season, we prepare ourselves, our families, our home life now, so that we are ready to go into the desert with Christ these 40 days plus of our Lenten journey with him. And so now is the time that we prioritize Christ and his church on our calendars. Now's the time to become open to productive self-evaluation and judgment so that we can ask God for help in changing our ways. In changing our ways. To become the men and women of God that he so lovingly and graciously desires for you and I to be. We keep in remembrance the last judgment. We keep it before us. We judge ourselves in light of the gospel and the revealed life of Christ through his holy church, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we do this so that we may address the sin in our lives, that we may confess it, and that we may find healing for our souls. Participation more and more now in the life of the Holy Trinity, so that on the last day we may hear the words of Christ: "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you." Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to him forever.
If you are an Orthodox Christian and have prepared through prayer and fasting to receive the holy gifts, and have made recent confession, if you're visiting with us today, and you are welcome to receive in your home Orthodox church, you may receive the gifts here today. Otherwise, please receive the antiteron that will be offered in the back, the blessed bread, as it comes out. Christ is in our midst.
He is in our shadow.